It's called Let's Keep the Flames of Hope Alive. Never let the fires die. Let's keep the flames of hope alive and never let the fires die. Take the lie of the lie.
Hi, this is Steve Fulton.
And this is Jeff Fulton.
And this is another edition of the Never Let the Fires Die Alarm podcast. And this week we're doing something we haven't done before. We're going to do a draft.
And for the people that don't know what a draft is, because it's mostly an American concept, Steve, explain what we're going to do to draft an album.
We're going to draft an album as Jeff and I, one at a time, are going to choose from the list of the 50 songs that were recorded for the In the Poppy Fields Bond. And we're going to pick from the songs that were never used on an album. And we're going to, together, one at a time, pick our dream album of the songs that were not released from the Poppy Fields Bond.
And so the song cannot have been picked.
Here are the rules.
For the In the Poppy Fields album.
Or Under Attack.
Or Under Attack.
And unless in the rare case where the song, when recorded on an album, was vastly, vastly different than the one that's on the Bond.
Perfect.
Okay. So we've decided to do this because I think we're going to go and do this for a few other instances as well. I think there are a lot of songs that were on In the Poppy Fields Bond that could have shown up on a record, and they never did, and we like to see some of these songs get their due. So Jeff's going to start off with track number one of what will probably be a 12-track record with what?
Right now it's going to sound like I'm breaking the rules, but I'm picking the original version of Be Still.
I do not think that breaks the rules.
Because it's, when it was recorded, when I first remember saying to Mike Peters, hey, the song you should have on there is Be Still, he said, thanks for picking the one song I can't redo. Didn't know what that meant. But when they did do it, it sounds like he redid it fine. But there's something different about the two songs.
There is something different about the two songs. I don't understand what he meant by that.
Me either, because the song went on Under Attack. But the album, the Bond
That's
version.
That's interesting. I wonder why he said that to you.
I don't.
This is a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, and I'm trying to remember if
it's almost 15 years ago.
If it was done in a higher key or something like that.
Maybe it was. I'll say that I think Be Still starts off the record in an amazing way. So I agree with you. I think Be Still would be the one that I choose as well.
Yeah, love that song. The original, I love both, but the original version I like better still.
So let's play a little bit of Be Still, and we can point out how it sounds different from the one on Under Attack, okay?
Sounds good. Now, wow, is that different?
And totally different. I forgot how much I liked that song, that version of that song.
To me, there's three major differences. One, the beginning is much longer. The guitar part at the beginning before the piano and the bass jump in.
I love the piano, by the way. I love the piano in that song, too.
So the second thing is the piano.
Which sounds really good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And the third is that it sounds like a song that morphed during Color Sound's time, which started out as this perfection.
I remember this. And remember these two. That's right. I remember those two songs sounding. If we can find a little bit of that, this perfection, we'll play it.
Yeah. Color Sound Complete.
No, it's not. And I mean, this life is, which is the final version of that
released,
song.
But this perfection was slightly.
It's interesting that all these songs are sort of percolated around the same time,
right?
Being written
right.
around the same time.
And remember
time.
That this perfection to me sounded like Tear the Curtain by a band. There's a Christian music band out here. One great song. And it's called Tear the Curtain. And I'll find the name of it while we're looking.
So that's track one, Be Still. Start off strong.
Okay, that was mine.
Here's the thing. So I don't believe that an album should start with a fast rock song like that and then go to a slow song. I think you need to have two rock songs at the beginning or it doesn't go right. So because of that, because you chose Be Still first, I will choose as my song for track number two. It's going to be from the Bond number 5, and it is going to be The Innocent Party.
Fantastic song.
So The Innocent Party, to me, is a lost, great rock song. I think got sort of overshadowed by something like Drunken Disorderly, which is a song that has similarities to. It's not the same at all, but it has some similarities. Let's listen to some of it, and then we'll talk about it afterwards, okay?
That is a Who song.
Yeah, how did that get left off everything?
I don't know how it got left. It's almost there are a few songs that just got passed by, and this is one of them.
Yeah, I mean honestly, I can't see how it didn't make it even onto one of the four albums that have been created. But that's what this
is about.
Podcast right. is for is finding the stuff that didn't make it,
the gems in the rough.
Yeah, I explained to that one of the previous podcasts about demoitis. When Mike sent me this, I looked it up. It's 11 song demo he sent me before any of this stuff was released, and this was the demo of one of these songs was on there, and demo of this song. I always liked the demo a little bit more, but now I can't, after listening to that, I can't figure out why. I think this is a fine version of the song. It reminds me a little bit of, something from Who's Next, plus a little bit of Substitute. Yeah. And The Innocent Party is another sort of, it feels like another one of Mike's defenses of his choices, his band choices, or of what he did with his bands. There is a line in there that reminds me of the tour he was on at the time, with the Mission and Gene loves Jezebel, so there's that. But so in that part of the song where Mike only sings about the innocent party once in that song, it's where like the chorus, you know, goes up, he sings about the resistance. And I remember, I believe that tour with The Alarm and Gene Loves Jezebel, and the mission was called the Resistance Tour. Let's look that up and see if that's true. But I think that's what it was called. So we just looked, and we can't find any mention of the Resistance Tour online. But there has to be something, so we'll confirm that. But I'm pretty sure that's what it was called. Anyway, Jeff, let's go on to your track number three.
Okay, let me say that I would like to pick Swan Song from Bond number...
You're going to pick Swan Song?
From Bond number one.
Okay.
So, and the reason...
Unfair! I was going to choose that song, but I guess that's what the pick is for.
That's what one of us is taking the draft credit for what we're drafting.
No, but I definitely would have chosen Swan Song as one of my... Swan Song is one of my favorite songs from the entire Bond. There's a double drum hit in there that just sounds amazing for some reason. Let's play a little bit of Swan Song, then we can talk about it.
Sounds good.
Goodbye, my friend, and fare thee well. If we never meet again, I'm glad I had the chance to know you. I hope you think of me as I think of you. We had our chance and we blew it away. We never got past the past. You say that you can live with that. If that's alright by you, it's fine by me. May your heart always be strong. May your spirit ride the wind. May your voice stay straight and true. This is my swan.
So there you go, Jeff. That's Swan Song. What I meant by the double drumming was that through the entire song, it seems like there's a double hit in the drum, and it makes the song feel vibrant and lively to me. For being a slow song, it makes it seem fast for some reason, and it has this undercurrent of anger that, as the lyrics go, I really identify with.
Well, I feel the undercurrent of anger because it reminds me of moments in time which didn't have the anger in it that it needed.
That it needed for the same thing. But you remember, I remember Mike saying that either that song was originally named Swan Song, or maybe it's in the version. There's a version of Moments in Time that's on the Change demos. I believe he sings My Swan Song in there somewhere. But anyway, great song.
Musically, what ties all of these Bond songs together is more bass piano.
There's some great piano in that song, too.
Yeah.
So the first three songs that we have listened to have had a great amount of piano in them, and it sounds good. And I kind of wonder why Mike removed that. I mean, I know he was going for more of a punk rock thing when 45 RPM got popular, and you know, and then went on the record, and it was going to be different and rocky. But it sort of feels like after listening to the new album,
some of that
piano actually sounds great.
It fleshes out the song more.
Yeah. So Swan Song. That's your number three. That's the number three track. And I get to pick one now. And I'm going to pick what I think is the most criminally underrepresented song ever from the Bond. And its name is The Normal Rules Do Not Apply.
Oh, my God. Is it criminally underused? Underappreciated?
It is criminally underappreciated, I believe. Now, this is another song where Mike had a demo from his 11-track demo. The demo has I think what he said was he taped down a key on the keyboard. So underneath the entire song, there was a single note being played on a synthesizer, which is really interesting. And we'll probably have to play a little bit of that to show the difference between the two. So you notice now I've now chosen two songs that I have demoitis for, but I'm choosing the ones from the Bond instead of the demoitis versions. I think that the Nomaru does not apply. I don't understand why it was never put on the records. It may be because Mike said, I believe he said, they recorded the first version of that demo that I'm talking about on 9/11, 2001. Right. And maybe it's just hits a little too close to home about the new world. I'm not really sure. But let's play some of the Nomaru does not apply. You left me hanging out. If I could make you, do you think you could face it? Lay your x-ray eyes on me. Let the white light shine. Let the white light shine. The normal rules do not apply anymore. In love, in life. So before we talk about that, let's just play a little bit of the demo version.
Yes.
Just right here so you can hear. I want to play a little bit of the difference so you can hear that keyboard stays the whole time.
You never know all the hurt that done. You left a black mark on my love.
So, anyway, I remember Mike saying to me before I ever heard this song, I remember we talked somehow either on the phone or via email or something, he's like, Steve, I think I've written another Blaze of Glory. And that was this song. Now, I don't think it's necessarily another Blaze of Glory. I actually think it's a better song. What do you think?
Well, I think it's another moving towards the Who sound, where it's got a... I do hear that note pinned down, but maybe it's not exactly the same
I think
it's
lower down in the mix. With the Who, as far as the Who go, I think I hear a little bit of Behind Blue Eyes, maybe, in that song.
Then it hits the ending, which is number four, the fourth part of the song, the fourth quarter of the song. And it basically moves into, like, Grantly Who mode, I like to call it in some cases.
Yeah. So why do you think that one was left off? I mean, it's, you know, four albums, it could have appeared on four records since the Bond came out, and it never appeared on any of them.
Well, one thing I'll remember is this, is that when Mike came here to play the Strength show, you requested him to play this song, and he had to look up the lyrics, and he had forgotten about it.
Oh, that's right.
So I think he actually almost, because it was around 9/11, he wrote it about that.
And then he wrote about it, because it was the same day that he said he was recording at that day, so I didn't think he wrote it about that. What this song is about is a mystery, I think, still. But if you remember from the song, the Swan Song, and Innocent Party, you know, both those songs to me sound like breakup songs from bands.
They're like, hey guys, leave me alone. I'm going to be the alarm now.
This may have something to do with that too. You know, it's certainly there's anger in this song as well, or at least unhappiness. But anyway, okay. So that's the Nomaru does not apply.
So my next selection, which is we're on song number five, right?
Song number five.
Song number five is Festival of Light from Bond number five.
Number five. Now, that actually was one of the original songs as well on those 11-track demos.
The original demos, there was After Rise and maybe Between Color Sound and this. I'm trying to remember the exact time frame. Those years kind of meshed together with Billy Duffy.
Right.
But he was playing Festival of Light and...
Kaleidoscope.
And Kaleidoscope.
In solo shows,
in solo
like
shows
a beatbox.
With a beatbox, and it was the first version of Mike Peters and the beatbox, him being able to record his guitar parts and play them and play with pre-recorded drums
and
you
things
know like what, that.
You know what? And what I really like about, and when those shows were playing, it seemed like Mike had really hit on something new and interesting and different. And I think he really hasn't even explored any of this stuff until his new records now. Like, he's kind of getting back to a little bit of this.
He did a lot of it, you know, when he did Declaration of Strength again. But
that's
he was doing Declaration of Strength again. He wasn't doing original songs, although the sound of many of those tunes were new tunes.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing a pick'em from those two records as well. Do a draft. But
a draft between the two, right.
But for now, let's play some of Festival of Light.
Okay, so Festival of Light, and the reason I chose that is every album needs to take it down somewhere that people aren't expecting. And to me, Festival of Light contains, one, an incredible melody in both the verses and the chorus, but it's so different from anything else that we were expecting from Mike Peters at the time and even now.
Here's the thing. I was just listening to this today on Rise Deluxe Edition. Mike released Rise Deluxe Edition in like 2009 or 2010. It had a different mix of songs for the Rise album on the first disc, and he included Kaleidoscope and Festival of Light on there, but they're not the versions from the Bond. They're the versions, I believe, that I heard as demos from the original 11-song disc for In the Poppy Fields. So I think my feeling is that Festival of Light from that record and this one together, there's slight differences, but I think it's very interesting. We should play a little bit of the Festival of Light from that that Rise, that
Let's
version, Rise Deluxe as well.
Right.
Then.
That's a good idea.
So my opinion does not change. It's a fantastic song.
And also, you know, just thinking about it, luckily we have a podcast. There's no limit on the number of podcasts we can do. I think we need to explore a little bit of this Rise Deluxe.
I think the Rise demos and the Rise Deluxe edition
all need to be explored.
Both of those records need to be explored and the released version as well, and figure out
two different released versions.
I would do a draft of all the Rise stuff.
By the way,
you can do it. Feel free too. You can do it with
anything,
Breathe.
Anything
because
Breathe,
with all the demos and the
Abbey Road
sessions and all that stuff.
Two singles that came before.
But we started here. We started here, and this is what we're doing.
So I just chose Festival of Light, and that was
song number five.
Song number five,
and just I have to go look. I have no idea what my song would be. Oh! This is easy. This is easy. One of the songs that I thought was missed and the beginning of something really cool that a few other songs sort of sound like, including a song like This Is the Way We Are from Under Attack, but it is In the Beauty of My Surroundings.
Oh, yeah. Great song.
Such a good song. I think it needed to maybe be recorded again, give it some of the power of, say, The Innocent Party or Drunk and Disorderly, but I think itself is still a great song. Let's play a good chunk of In the Beauty of My Surroundings.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so what songs does that remind you of?
So, it definitely reminds me of Spirit of 76.
Reminds me of a little bit of One Step Closer Home.
It sounds a lot like an alarm song.
Yeah, in absolute reality, it sounds me too. It sounds like an alarm song. It sounds like something that would happen in the Declaration Strength sort of era.
And with the ba-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, it's got this sort of 60s sensibility that could have come straight out of 17, too.
Yep. I agree. And it sort of sounds a little bit like it could have been played alongside the stuff on Edward Henry Street.
Edward Henry Street. On that note,
that's track number 6 for this side. I guess for side A, right? I guess that's side A.
Yes.
So now let's go to side B, which sort of says that we could start something brand new. And I think it's only fair that I get to start off side B.
You go ahead.
You got to start off
side
A.
Start off side B. What would you like to... How should we start off side B?
Speak of the devil, I would like to start off side B, the second set of tracks, with something from Edward Henry Street. I would start it off with the combination of 1959, The Crescent, Edward Henry Street, and The Sea as one
song,
single track. It's like 8 minutes
long. Yeah. Like almost like a song off of Green Day's record,
right?
Where you get multiple songs at once.
Except these are better songs in my opinion. I mean, I love the Green Day record. Don't get me wrong, but
put all
I love
four of these together and then maybe open and close them with part of the same song, and you got a really awesome 10-minute track to flesh out a 12-song record.
So I would start off with that because this side of this album, you know, maybe this is the storytelling side. I have no idea. Interesting to me. So I want to start there. So let's play a little bit of each one of those tracks and show how they kind of meld into one another. All right, so that was the first track. That's 1959. Very short. I adore the trumpet in that song. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's basically the lead of a lead guitar played on the trumpet, and it is the great beginning of what's going to... This is basically... This entire section of Mike Peters' career is like, I can write songs as good as The Who, and here they are.
And here they are.
And basically this one, this where
is,
you go through...
Well, all this is like a rock opera to begin with.
Yeah.
And it actually based on this soundtrack Mike did for a TV show called Fun in the Sun. So a lot of these songs are actually written there. And I think Fun in the Sun was a bonus track on this record at the end of this
you
record.
Like a second.
It was like you waited like a long time, and then the Fun in the Sun demos came on. But it was written for that, but then sort of expanded to be Edward Henry Street. And I love 1959. 1959 is not on. I don't think it's on there because Mike expanded that to do it. But now let's play a little bit of the second track, The Crescent.
The Crescent.
I had to lose myself to find myself again. I had to lose myself to find myself again. Come on. At 9:17, school came to me on the reservation. I got my head kicked in and a sheepskin coat punched in the throat.
Okay, so listen to that one. That one's different. Now you've got some little drumming that sounds like Magic Bus. In fact, a lot of that song sounds like
that
Magic Bus.
Hitting the block is Magic Bus.
That's great.
Along
so there
with
you go.
The
again,
rest of the song.
Again, it's like a little bit of the Who here, and a little bit, you know, feels has a feeling kind of maybe a little bit of Tommy with the overture.
We're thinking Tommy, but I'm thinking more
Quadrophenia.
Quadrophenia. I don't know why. I'm thinking more Quadrophenia or Tommy. To me, Quadrophenia is what this sounds like to me.
This has a very mod feel. This whole thing does, right? So there is that. So now listen to
Edward Henry.
Down to Kevin's at packing station, to place of beauty. We fall in love in St. Francis Records, and all the whole of our life changed. The middle of nowhere came to Edward Henry Street.
When this Bond first came out, I thought Edward Henry Street was better than 45 RPM. I actually liked it as a better song.
I actually I love Bond number one. I love songs off of all the other Bonds, but this was my absolute favorite
Me too.
Bond record.
Now, don't remember, I love 45 RPM. I just thought, like, if you had to put those two up there, number one or number two, I would have put Edward Henry Street number one and 45 RPM two.
Me too. I totally agree.
There's something about this song. Now let's play this scene. So the sea is like 42 seconds of like musical bliss for me.
And it's perfect to end the song, this song, these four tracks that equal one song, unless you wanted to add a little, like a faded out version of of 1959 at the end with the trumpet playing in.
I get it, like fade out to me, kind of yeah. Bookend. That's what I do. I would probably bookend this with a little bit more of 1959, like a reprise.
Yeah.
1959 reprise. Let's get Mike to do that. Let's have him do this again with the 1959 reprise and sort of bookend it as like this sort of spectacular, like epic song.
I'm not gonna say that I'm gonna make that song or anything like that, Steve, but I might already have that song in my
You might have already built that.
You might have already
edited that song.
Yeah.
The Alarm Superfans here edit songs that hardly anyone has ever heard into songs that no one's ever heard.
Right, exactly. And I actually have that edit.
You do?
We can't play it anywhere.
No, but that's cool. I like that.
I do have it.
I agree with you. That little reprise would sound good. I could be convinced to add another track in there. Well, let's go on to the next song. Are you going to add another track from Edward Henry Street in here later?
I don't have to give too much away. One of us can pick it, but there will definitely be at least one more song from
Edward
Henry Street.
All right, so what is your song number?
Resurrection.
Resurrection, right. This always struck me as sort of a Rolling Stones-esque song.
And this is off of... Resurrection is off the same old Trafficking, Be Still, and...
That's number three.
This is number three, right. And Drunk and Disorderly. So the reason Resurrection gets a little missed is because most of the songs that came on in the Poppy Fields came off of Bond number three.
It's true.
A lot of them. And Resurrection is like, well, we can't pick Resurrection.
Right, because it's already been picked.
And so let's play some Resurrection right now.
All right.
I hang out with dead rock star Sarah Bell, with all the unseen, I've been online, downloaded the upgrade.
Resurrection. I forgot about that song almost completely.
I can tell you the one reason I remember this song and forever remember it is the tongue roll of Resurrection.
That sounds so good.
I think hopefully we'll play that.
Yeah,
we'll edit that part.
We'll edit that part in.
But I
think that has a little bit of Soul Me Down the River in it. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of that.
That era, but it's, I love Tony Visconti's production of that record, by the way.
I'd like to hear Tony Visconti produce that song.
If he produced the song, it'd be different.
Yeah, right? You know, I remember something interesting. I was thinking how it connected that to the Rolling Stones. I remember calling up KROQ,
yep.
And we're waiting. It's 1989. We're desperately waiting to hear the new Alarm single. And I remember the girl on the phone said, "Oh, it's really cool. It sounds like the Rolling Stones."
Right. Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
And then Soul Me Down the River, which does have a tearing apart between multiple Alarm fans. Some think that they don't like that song. It's almost the same as the single from
Rain of the
Summertime,
yeah.
Where I actually think it's a great song. But it actually was the top of the charts most played on rock radio.
Right, on rock radio. And hit number two. So, I mean,
yeah,
but anyway, what about Resurrection? I mean,
I just love it as an all together put together song. It's got cowbell in it. It's just a rock song.
It just kind of rocks.
To me, it rocks, and it
fits on a record. Like, at this spot on a record, it kind of fits.
It fits on a record in a place where, you know, we just played a 10-minute overture to Maud.
Right.
And then suddenly Resurrection comes on, and it puts you back into the 60s. It puts back into the 60s.
It does have a 60s sound to it, yeah.
Rolling Stone sound to it.
So I'll tell you what my next track is. It's actually on Bond number 3 as well. And it is called When Everything Was Perfect.
I remember a time when rock and roll was sold under the counter. Now it's owned by corporations, sold to sell computers. I've stared into the eyes of Johnny Rotten. Stuck the safety pins inside my soul. I remember once we had a reason. I remember when everything was gone. I signed up for the ride.
Yeah, you know what? After listening to that, it does remind me a lot of Moments in Time. I think it's better.
It's not the same tune. It's more of, it's Mike Peters, you know, talks about the electric circus and buying rock records under the counter, all those things like that. It's completely an ode to being in the Alarm, you know.
Yeah. It seems like this side of the record is sort of shaping up that way.
Mike Peters,
I don't think we planned
personal
that.
History,
I did once think about I thought about Mike collecting the songs together on a record from the Bond that would sort of tell the story of the Alarm. Because I think it's all there.
I think it's all in this record.
But we can't do that for our pick'em because a lot of the songs were taken from different places. Records and stuff. But you told me something interesting, Jeff, about the guitar on that song.
Yeah, I remember talking to Mike Peters. He had dropped over to my house to drop something off. I forget. You weren't around, and he had to drop something off. And this was basically during this time.
Right.
And we had heard Bond, the Bond, and I said, you know, one of my favorite songs was this one, and the next song we're going to pick. And I said, you know, when you were creating these demos, did you do them yourself, or who did the guitar lead? Because there's a great guitar lead on there. He said, Jeff, you'd be surprised who played guitar lead on this song. And I think he meant was, no, people were kept on underappreciating his ability to play lead guitar.
Right.
And that's
right.
what he's doing now a lot more.
It's interesting.
And,
yeah,
I think
good
he was trying to say that he actually played lead guitar on these tunes.
Right.
And some of them were later on replaced by someone else, but if he did all these himself, you could tell this is an incredible guitar lead on this one, played by Mike Peters.
Well, that's great. I always remember that song, and I always thought, you know, it's like sort of a cousin to Swan Song that we put on side A.
Right. So,
but I think the next song that you think you hinted to me what we're going to choose, what is it? Is it the next song?
The next song is Safe Houses.
Oh, from Bond number 5. From number 5.
Yes, one of my favorite all-time Mike Peters songs.
All right, let's play that.
Are you ready to believe in me? I never stop believing in you. Rock and roll is a love-hate thing. I love you more than you hate me. Just when you think you found your way out of this, set you right back in.
Safe Houses to me sounds like a song that could actually be on the new record re-recorded, because it does go left or right.
I know
you think
it
it's going to go right, and it goes left. And the reason being, it's another one of those songs from this that's saying, especially the 3-1, and they got the goodwill. And,
yes, I know.
This is basically another one, Mike Peters saying, you know, why is history? I'm writing history as the winner, not the loser.
Right,
I'm going to write the history that actually happened.
You guys went and stayed in your safe houses. I remember this. This was a little shocking to me, this song, when I heard it from this record.
This basically is, you guys went to your safe houses. I'm out here singing over Drunken Roads and Broken Street.
Yeah, well, that's right. So I'm gonna follow this up with a song that I think I think there could be a new version recorded of it. But I think along this track, this song has been sort of forgotten, and I think it fits the theme of this record. I'd like to hear one with a little bit more powerful recording, but it's called Contenders.
So true. A little bit
like of the chorus sounds like Heroes
by David Bowie.
Yeah,
right.
A little bit. Or
a little more punch to the song.
Yeah. I think, you know, yes, there's a little bit there, you know, but I think again it's sort of, you know, if you think about this side of the record being Mike thinking about his past, then Resurrection being the song about him restarting the band, then him going and starting to think about, you know, how it was formed when everything was perfect and Safe Houses. I mean, there's a lot there.
This record really has turned out to be the history of the Alarm of Mike Peters, basically.
Right.
And I do love the Contender, even as it is. It's a perfect getting to the end of a record, second side song, where you're thinking, oh, they're just going to phone it in, and then suddenly you hear another great song. We're not going to phone in any songs on this record.
Exactly. Okay, so Jeff, this is track number 12.
Now we're at 12, and it seems to me that I think we said we're going to pick 12, but I think we need 13.
I think we're going to have to go for 13, too, because what's your song 12?
Well, my song 12 is Mercenary Skank.
Oh, yeah, so that's kind of like a reprise of
of Edward Henry Street. Would you maybe edit in a little bit of other Edward Henry Street song around it so that you get that feeling?
So when Jeff likes to edit songs and make his own anyway,
would you maybe Up Downtown those two together?
Yes, Up Downtown and Edward Henry Street kind of merge together.
Merge together to make one song. I think that would be good.
Boys and skinhead girls, whales dancing on the riding floor. Purple high stakes, these blues and joy. You and the blessing, and we skank once more.
Song about the skinhead girls and the but anyway, it's fantastic. It's basically him going to see ska and punk rock shows in the mid-70s,
and it sounds good. And it's also, both of those songs are about him meeting the other guys from his other bands that he played in.
Yes.
So those are cool too. I really like that, as you know, as this sort of, this side is not a linear timeline of events. It's like it's sort of a jumbled set of memories.
It's a photo album where the photos are out of order.
Yeah, the photos out of order, and it's your job as the listener to put them back together. And having said that, I think we need to end the record with one of my favorite songs from the Bond. Again, that's obviously one of my favorite ones, because
these are our 13 favorite songs that weren't on anywhere from
it's
the Bond.
It's called Terms and Conditions. And I have to say, there's just something about this song that I love. Sings about being all alone in this credit room of drunken fools.
Again, it's like Ground Zero. I just love those tracks where he's actually telling his pure emotion about what he's actually feeling, because we don't get that often.
Right.
Is like his life. Like, I'm up here on stage in this credit room, and no one's listening to me, but I'm playing my heart out on this guitar.
Right, and that's what I think, like why I'd like this to end the record, because it's like, this would be the return of him trying to go for the big time. And to do that, he had to go through all these emotions and things before he can get there. And that's what I love about that being the last track on the record.
And, and this is a fantastic 13-song record. I might have this as the playlist all merged together somewhere, with the songs merged the way I want.
That's cool.
No one can have it but me, but you can make it yourself if you wanted to, and you have the right tools. I'd like to say one other thing. The song that I thought this perfection was like was by a band called The Holidays.
Called Tear the Curtain.
You can go listen to it on YouTube.
Cool. So
So anyway, great 13-track pick'em. I really enjoy doing that. I can't wait to do the next one.
Yeah.
I think the next one I'd like to do maybe 10 tracks from the new Declaration of Strength records from both the there's four records, pick like a 10 song album.
Ones that are songs. Slightly different
yes,
than more
absolutely,
different than the
slightly
other ones
different.
That were released.
Right? Cool. Well, that was great, Jeff. So that's the Never Let the Fires Die podcast. We'll be back again soon with another one. Thanks for now.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
And it feels like of you know his the I think it was the with and
oh yeah
so but there's that.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.